The text of scripture that I have chosen to speak from today is found in the book of Genesis, the 16th chapter. And I love the word of God. After 46 years of preaching, I still get excited about preaching the word of God. Because God's word is true. God's word is a revelation of God to us. And we can learn more about God from His Word. And I trust that we will receive something from His Word this morning. I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, and we will have prayer over the Word of God. It's good to see my friend Kati here today. And he is going to read, beginning with the 7th verse, and read through the rest of the chapter, Genesis
16. Сарайс, чем колбатос гаурбивар. Утрамас уплис ангелозма, габру дишен с колбатона даеморчиле. Утрамас уплис ангелозма, дидат гаумрал, шеш таумалобас, да вера гирит скебас и мравлис гамо. Утрамас уплис ангелозма, аха, орсулат да хар, шабуаш, да исмаэс дартным сахилат, радган мохедо упалмашен с чабрас. Канджеру витикне байги адамията шоис. Мисихели, кола синабды, да кола хели вистинабды. Тавис мата пириспирит схоребсиги. Аксена сахели уплиса, румелице лапаракевода. Шехар гмерти, чем им хилвели. Радган тква, гана акацар вихиле, кулав чем им хилвели са. Амитом шия тва им час, бер лахай рой. Кадеши сада барет шоис мдебаре мусиги. Ушо агарма, Абрам, зважда сахела дарква, да, важда дарква сахела Абрама, тавис ваш, румелиц агарма ушо Исмаэли.
I'd like you to join me as we pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that your presence will be here with us in the ministry of the Word. We confess before you that we're unable to do anything. But we know that the God that we serve is able to do all things. So we ask you to help us in the ministry of the Word of God today. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit. Bless your people to receive the Word of God. May we be drawn closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you as you're being seated this morning. In this passage of scripture that has been read this morning in your hearing, there is a servant girl by the name of Hagar who gives God a name. In the Hebrew, it is Elroy. And the name that she gives to God means the Lord or the God who sees me. She was in a situation where she felt alone. But all of a sudden it comes upon her the fact that God had been watching her. She gives a name to God, and the name is Elroy. The God who sees me. I think all of us know very well the story of Abraham. When he was in Ur, God spoke to him and asked him to leave Ur and go to
Canaan.
The story of Abraham is one of the most important stories in world literature.
Abraham's history is one of the most important stories in the Bible.
Because when God called him from Ur, God gave him a promise. And the promise was, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And so Abraham left Ur, believing the promise of God. But he went in obedience to the Lord. But the years passed, and there was no child or no son given to him. Abraham began to despair. Because God had given the promise, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And yet there is not a son to carry on that promise. How can I become a great nation if I don't have a son? And so he began to think in his own mind, there must be a different way that a nation can be brought forth. But one night God spoke to Abraham and told him in the night to go outside. When they got outside, God told him to look toward the heavens.
And
Abraham looked at the heavens and God said to him, count the stars. And of course, Abraham could not count the stars. And God said, your offspring will become like the stars of heaven. So God continued to give him the promise. I'm going to make of you a great nation. But the years continued to go by. And Sarah, his wife, was desperate because there was no child. And you have to recognize in the society of that day, that was not only a personal tragedy for a woman not to have a child, but it was also a marital tragedy. It was a desperate situation for a couple to be married and not have a child. And Sarah was desperate. Years of marriage, but no child. I think it's interesting to note in Scripture that it was the barren women of the Bible that brought forth some of the greatest men of God. And of course, finally, there came to this relationship of Abraham and Sarah, a son by the name of Isaac. But years later, Jacob would marry Rachel. And for years, Rachel would be barren. Until God heard their prayer. And one of the most outstanding characters of biblical literature was born. His name was Joseph. It was to a barren family that Samson was born. It was to a barren woman who prayed at the house of God for a child. Her supplication was so tremendous that the priest thought that she was drunk. But God heard Hannah's prayer. And Samuel the prophet was born. It was to Zechariah and Elizabeth that John the Baptist was born. Zechariah was an old man. He was a priest. And as he ministered in the house of the Lord, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, you're going to have a son. John. And his name is going to be John. But Zachariah was so advanced in years, he couldn't believe that it was true.
And the angel
says it is true, and you're not going to be able to speak until the child is born. But to this barren family came this son by the name of John the Baptist. Of whom Jesus said there was never a greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. So I say to you that out of desperate situations, out of barrenness, God answered prayer and brought forth children. But Abraham and Sarah did not wait upon the promise of God as they should have. For one day, Sarah said to her husband, I want you to take my servant girl, Hagar, for Hagar was an Egyptian slave that lived in their home. I want you to take her and I want you to sleep with her and let a child be raised up in my name. Because Sarah saw that she would never have children, so let this girl raise up a child for me. And so Abraham did as his wife suggested. And so Hagar was found to be with child. But when she knew that she was expecting a child by Abraham, her whole attitude changed towards Sarah. And she began to despise Sarah. She began to ridicule Sarah. And say, you know, I am expecting Abraham's child. You are not able to have children. And so Sarah goes to her husband Abraham. And remember, she was the one that requested all of this. But she says to Abraham, Abraham, it's all your fault. Now my servant girl despises me and it's all your fault. Abraham says to Sarah, you can do anything with Hagar that you decide. And she starts mistreating Hagar. And after a period of time of being mistreated, Hagar leaves and goes into the wilderness. And after she's gone a great distance into the wilderness, she comes to a well and she sits down there. And just imagine how she began to contemplate the situation that she was in. Here she is, a young girl expecting a child. She is a slave girl. She has no friends in the world. There's no one that she can turn to. Probably she's from a slave family and does not even know where her family is. What is she going to do when she delivers the child? How is she going to provide warmth and protection for this child? How is she going to feed and clothe this child? She began to realize she is in a desperate situation. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appears to her. And he gives to her a great promise.
That
promise is that from her child will also be a great nation.
And he
gives to her some very wise counsel.
And
that is to go back and submit yourself to
Sarah. Don't
have a bad attitude
towards Sarah.
But go back and submit. But when the angel of the Lord has appeared and then has gone away, she then gives a name to God. She says, Elroy. The God who sees me. She is saying that when I thought I was all alone, when I thought that there was no help and there was no hope for me, I didn't realize that all the time God was watching me. And she named the well
Beer Lahai Roya,
which means the well of the living one who sees me. So every time people pass this well and stop there to get a drink, and they use the name Beer Lahai Roy, this is the well of the living one who sees me. That's the message for all of us here today.
That
no matter what circumstances of life we are in, whether we are going through domestic situations as she was going through, we're going through financial situations where we find ourselves in a trial that seems to be so painful. And more than anything else, we feel isolated and we feel all alone, and there's no one who cares for us. I want to say to you, there is a God by the name of Elroy. He is the living God. And he sees you. Always remember, whatever you're going through, God is watching you. God is seeing you. God knows about your distress. God knows about your trial. God knows about your difficulties. And as he dealt with Hagar, embrace and comfort,
Elroy,
the God who sees,
will
deal with all of us in grace and comfort. Because he is a loving God.
Hallelujah.
You love him, say amen.
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 It is wonderful to read the scriptures and see how this principle is carried out. It's interesting to me that it was a pagan girl who was in a desperate situation who gave God the name
Elroy.
The God who sees me. But finally, God blesses Abraham and Sarah, and they have a son by the name of Isaac. And he has grandchildren. One of them, the name is Jacob. And Jacob returns to his grandfather's native country. And when he gets back to the land of
Abraham,
he sees a young girl by the name of Rachel and immediately falls in love with her. He knows he has met the love of his life. He wants her to be his wife. He speaks to her father, he speaks to Rachel.
And Laban,
her father, agrees, you can have Rachel for your
wife.
But you have to work for her for 7 years. And he agrees immediately, I'll work for her for 7 years. But the Bible tells us that the love that Jacob had for Rachel was so great that those 7 years seemed like just a few days. And so the time came for him to marry Rachel.
They had
the wedding. The bride was all veiled. It was not until the next day that Jacob realized. He had not married Rachel, but he married her sister Leah. And so he comes back to Laban, his father-in-law. He says, what have you done to me? And it was then that Laban said to him, oh, in our community, in our society, we have a very strict rule. And that is, the oldest daughter must marry first. And that's why you married Leah. Now, I feel that if that was a strict rule in their culture, that Laban should have told him 7 years earlier. He was 7 years late in telling him of this rule. But says, if you will work another 7 years, you can have Rachel. And the love that he had for Rachel was so great, he was willing to work another 7 years. And for 7 more years he worked. And even after the 14 years, he continued to work for Laban, his father-in-law.
It was
a very treacherous thing that Laban had done to him. But in the 20 years working for his father-in-law, his father-in-law had reduced his wages 10 times. But after the 20 years, God spoke to Jacob. God said to him, I have seen all that Laban has done to you. Now, I'm sure that during those 20 years, there were times that Jacob felt, no one knows my situation. There's no one on earth that has been treated as bad as I have been treated. No one understands what I'm going through. But finally, God said, I have seen all that Laban has done to you. I'm telling you that if we go through difficult times, there is comfort and there is strength for us if we just know God is watching us, that God sees what is happening to us, and God is concerned for us, and that God loves us. And maybe Jacob felt that he was not being watched for 20 years, but God said, I have seen everything that Laban
Hallelujah.
I don't know how long your trial has been or how long your distress. But I'm saying there has not been a moment that God has not been watching and loving and caring for you. And God will come to your behalf. Well, God had promised Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. Generations passed. Abraham's seed was now in Egypt. And his offspring had grown to become a small nation. But there was one problem. That is, they were slaves in Egypt. And they were in Egypt for 400 years, and most of that time was in slavery. They lived a hard life. Their masters were cruel to them. They had to work and labor and serve the Egyptians. And it was a difficult time for them. But one day in the backside of the desert, Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And there was a burning bush. But the bush was not consumed.
And
Moses turned aside to see this bush. And out of this bush, God began to speak to his people.
Moses.
And the first thing that God said to him was this. God said, I have seen the affliction of my people, that has come to them by reason or because of their taskmasters. You remember Moses was born to a Jewish family that put him in a little basket in the bulrushes. And he was taken out of the bulrushes and became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And 80 years after his birth, God spoke to him out of a burning bush. And through all of those 80 years of his life, the children of Israel was living in slavery. And then when he's 80 years of old, God speaks to him and says to him, I have seen the affliction of my people. There's just something wonderful about and comforting about the fact to know that God is watching over us and God sees. And if a person this morning would ask me, what kind of God do you serve, Frank? I would say along with Hagar, I serve a God who sees me. The God that I serve is not blind to the difficulty that I go through. The God that I serve is watchful. And whether I sense his presence or not, this God that I serve is always with me. Hallelujah. And whatever I go through, as long as I know that God is with me and God sees me, that's all I need to know. For many years, my wife and I were living in Montgomery, Alabama, pastoring a church. Montgomery, Alabama is the center of professional schools for the United States Air Force.
And
it's where all the leading officers of the U.S. Air Force come to school. Many different schools. When I was a young boy growing up, we had an associate pastor by the name of Reisner. And this man had a brother who was in the United States Air Force. His name, they called him Robbie Reisner. And And he had been in the church that I pastored years before I became pastor. He'd been a member of that church while he was there in Montgomery. But he was in Vietnam and he was taken prisoner. I think he was a prisoner for about 7 years. When he came back from Vietnam, he was invited to speak at the War College in Montgomery. He is a wonderful Christian man, committed to the Lord. And I invited him to speak at the church while he was there. When I met him at the airport, there were officers there that in the airport that greeted him because they were prisoners also in Vietnam. Eventually, Robbie Reisner became a general. But when he spoke at the church, some of the people who had been in prison with him were there to hear him speak. And after the service, one of them began to talk to me. He began to talk to me about how Robbie got many of them through their life imprisonment.
That
he became a spiritual leader for
them.
He enabled them to face things with courage. And this officer said to me, I so respected him. I looked up to him so much while we were in prison. He said, when the Vietnamese would take me in and they put me on a little stool, make me sit on a little stool, and they would take rubber hoses. And they would beat me over the head. He said the only way that I could endure that, he said, I would pretend that Robbie was there watching me. And I said to myself, I will not do anything that will disgrace myself. And I will not behave myself in such a way that will disgrace Robbie. And I can't tell you how spiritually a truth leaped within me. If all of us in this life, no matter what trial we're going through, no matter what difficulty, if you just realize the Lord is standing there with us. God is watching us. Lord, I never want to do anything that will disgrace myself or disgrace your name. Give me courage for the trial. Give me grace for the moment. And just to realize God is watching over us. God sees us all the time. There's not a single moment in which God is not watching us. I want you to just remember this passage of Scripture. In Psalms 33, verses 16 through 19. David has this to say. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Upon them that hope in his mercy. To deliver their souls from death. And to keep them alive and
family.
Hallelujah. Just remember, though the night is long, and the night is dark that we're going through,
다 교만함을 믿자면 둘이 안 교만 이 교만함을 너무
신경 We serve a God according to Scripture who never slumbers or sleeps. Hallelujah.
다 주님 믿으시도록 그만히 진실히 믿자오시오. 나서 그만히 사고를
믿자. God sees us. Hallelujah.
그만히 그리고 믿으시오. 나 그만히
헤다오시오. God sees us in our trials.
그만히 헤다오시오.
God is watching over us.
나 그만히 그리고 믿으시오.
In the moment of your bereavement.
로타신 툴이 베리오디가.
When your heart is broken.
로타신이 굴이가 택해디야.
Remember, there is a God who's watching you.
각서데스 와리스 그메티 로멘스 기브.
And a God who will deal with you in grace and deal with you in comfort.
다이시스 그메티 로멘스 모아다 마드리트 모기디야.
We serve a God of love. Hallelujah.
주연사 프라비드 시파로리스 그메티.
So we serve a marvelous, wonderful God who's always watching over us.
아서 주연사 프라비드 그메티 로멘스 always.
You know, I've always appreciated the words of God.
It is all this purpose of the mathematics it was.
But when we look at Psalms 32:8, here are the words. I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And I will guide thee with my eye. Hallelujah. It's just like a teacher who watches over a child. And that child begins to, in his penmanship, began to write incorrectly. That teacher brings it back to where and instructs on how it should write correctly. And when you and I began to get off course or off the path, the God we serve begins to look at us. And he says, I will guide thee with my eye. He begins to guide us back to the right path. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
There's a God who sees us. There's a God who sees us in our distress. Our God sees us in our trial. God sees us in our poverty. God is watching over and He's caring for us. God sees everything about our lives. He also sees our sin. There's not anything about us that God does not see. And you and I must recognize God sees our sin. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus when I was just 7 years of age. And there was a song when I was just a young boy that they used to sing in my church. And I must tell you that the song and it's the way I was interpreting it just frightened me. Because the song said, the all-seeing eye of God is watching you. Watching you, watching you. The all-seeing eye of God is watching you. And I just knew that any bad thing I would do, God was watching
you.
And God was going to come down hard on me. He's watching me. Friends, if we have unrepented sin in our life, we do know that we face the judgment of God. God raised up the children of Israel to be a faithful people to Himself. They were to worship Him and serve Him, the true God. They were not to serve idols. They were not to bow down and become pagans. But the children of Israel turned away from God and began to serve the pagan gods of the people around
them.
Even to the point of sacrificing their children to these pagan gods. God sent many prophets to call them back.
One of these prophets
was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet.
And
it's through this weeping prophet, Jeremiah, that God spoke these words to Israel. God said, I have seen your adulteries. The spiritual adulteries that they had committed against the Lord. They had not been faithful and true
But
they had turned to other gods. But God said, I have seen your adulteries. Which makes us understand that that we are seen by God in everything that we do. I know today that God sees my thoughts and He hears my words and He sees my deeds. That God is watching over our lives. But He is there to deal with grace and mercy to us. And I'm glad to report to everyone here today that if we have sinned against the Lord, there is grace and mercy that God has when we come in repentance to the Lord. God kept calling the children of Israel out of their adulteries to repent of their sins. And they refused to repent of their sins. And because of refusal to repent of their sins, God dealt with them in judgment. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He will not abide sin, or He will not accept sin. Sin must be purged and cleansed from our lives. And we do that through repentance and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as our Savior. And this wonderful God is present in this service. He has seen every sin that you've ever committed. But He speaks to you in love this morning. If you will come to Me, I will not cast you out. If you come to Me in repentance, I will receive you. If you come to Me in repentance in the name of My Son Jesus, I will forgive you. And I'll make you a child of God. He is a wonderful God. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He is love. He's here to display that love to you. I'd like for us to stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning for everybody. I pray that to every person there will be revealed the love and grace of God. I pray that every one of us will come to understand that God loves us and we know Him through the cross of Jesus Christ. I thank you that when I came to you in the name of your Son Jesus, you forgave me and accepted me and washed me clean. And I love you, Lord Jesus. And I pray the love of Jesus Christ will draw people to God. People understand that no matter what sin is in their life, no matter what they have done in their past, God loves them and will forgive them. And before this entire audience of people, they will come forward and say, Jesus, I accept you.
I repent of my sin.
Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.